Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Wears Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to be looking at the first part of this chapter, verses 1 through 18. This is God's Word. "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. I want to look at four brief points regarding these 18 verses. The first is the contrast between public and private piety. Jesus refers repeatedly and with, let's say, a derogatory perspective on what he calls the hypocrites. These are people who publicly make a show of their piety. They want people to see how religious they are. They want people to know that they are engaged in good things. Now, Jesus says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. He's not saying that you've got to make sure nobody ever knows about anything good that you do. Go back to chapter 5, verse 16, and see what Jesus says there. "In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." The question is, why are you doing it, and who's getting the glory? If you're doing it in order to be seen, it's worthless. If when it is seen, I didn't know you'd notice that, but yes, it's true. I did that. You've lost your reward. But if you simply live an honestly godly life, people will see your good deeds and give glory to your Father in heaven, because your life is going to be continually pointing people toward Him. But be careful, Jesus says. We have to watch out, or we'll slide into this thing of wanting people to notice us. And if you're not careful, Jesus says you can slip into saying and doing things not for the glory of God, but for the applause of men. Be very careful. So Jesus says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward. It doesn't say you'll have a lesser reward. It says you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Well, then he gives us three examples of good deeds, of pious living. The first is giving to the needy. And I want you to see, Jesus doesn't say, if you give something to the needy, you need to do it like this. He says, when you give. He's going to talk about prayer, and he doesn't say, and if you pray, you need to do, he says, when you pray. He's going to talk about fasting, and he doesn't say, and if you fast, he says, when you fast. Jesus speaks to his disciples as people who will be giving to the needy, who will be spending time in prayer, who will be fasting in order to draw closer to God. You see it? Verses 2, 5, and 16. When you give to the needy, when you pray, when you fast. Not if, but when. And so Jesus also, please note, when he's talking about giving here, he's talking about giving to those who are in need. Giving to the needy. I'm not going to preach a whole sermon on that this morning, but suffice it to say, a lot of what gets given is given unwisely. It's given to people who aren't genuinely in need when there are people who are in genuine need. It's given in a way that it doesn't help. After the earthquake in Haiti a number of years ago, not the most recent one, but the one that was much more devastating a number of years back, wonderful, well-intentioned people in the U.S. sent tons of clothing to the people in Haiti. Okay? What can we do? Well, let's send them last year's wardrobe. And we sent tons of clothes down to Haiti. And what we did was make it impossible for the people in Haiti who make their living making clothes to make a living. They were devastated by our generosity. Imagine if you were a tomato farmer and somebody in the name of charity decided to send a bushel of tomatoes from another state to everybody in your community. Would that be helpful? No, not really. A lot of efforts at helping end up hurting. Jesus says we ought to be giving to the needy. We need to be guided by the Holy Spirit in how to do it. Support a ministry that feeds the hungry. Don't just give money to an addict that's not going to get spent on food. And if you really want to be strategic, try building a relationship with a person who's begging for food by taking them to eat with you and inviting them to share with you their story. It may open the door for you to share the gospel with them. When you give, Don't do it in a way that calls attention to you. When you give to the needy, don't even let your right hand know what your left hand is doing, or your left know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you.
Folks, it's a great privilege for me to be able to come each evening and bring God's Word on these stations, and I'm thankful that I have the opportunity to do that. But if you listen regularly, you know that my life day to day is involved in trying to minister to kids who come from very difficult situations. I want to ask you to help us. Contact us at wvr.org and find out how you can be a part of the miracle. That's wvr.org. Please help us help these children.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
And when you pray, don't do it for public attention. Jesus isn't saying you can't pray in public. What he's saying is your motive should not be to be seen, to be noticed. Oh, wow, that person really knows how to pray. Have you noticed? I haven't been to seminary, so I didn't learn how to pray like that. Prayer is talking with your Heavenly Father. Children can speak to their dad even when they're little babes and they have very limited vocabulary. They don't know what to say, but their parents love to hear them. Free parenting advice, total tangent, don't encourage baby talk in children. It's good for you as a parent to help them learn how to speak, but let me tell you something. You want to hear them speak. You want to hear what they have to say. And your Father wants you, your Father in heaven wants you to talk with him and just be honest. Don't pose and posture and don't go on and on and on thinking that the more you say, the more likely God is to listen. Jesus says, that's what the pagans do. Because they don't know God. They don't know the one that they're talking to. But if you know your Father, if you know God, you can come to him. And as we sang this morning, I don't know what else to say. There are so many reasons to love you. He's wonderful. Tell him so. Say, well, I have questions. Tell him so. Well, I'm concerned about this. Tell him so. Talk with him. Pray honestly. Jesus gives the model prayer here, and I hope we're going to get to look at that in detail next time. But right now, I just want you to see that Jesus encourages honest prayer, simple prayer, private prayer. And Jesus says, if you want your prayer to be heard, you need to forgive those who've done you wrong. Because if you refuse to forgive others, God doesn't forgive you. When Jesus talks about forgiveness in the prayer, he says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Not, and if you'll forgive me, I'll forgive them. Jesus says, go ahead and forgive them, then we'll talk. Well, I'm having trouble forgiving. There's only one part of the prayer Jesus goes back and emphasizes again. That's the part. The forgiveness part. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, I may not feel like forgiving that fellow, but I certainly want God to forgive me. And if this is part of the deal, I better go ahead and make a decision. Not talking about feelings here. Make a decision to let that person go. I need to forgive. I don't have to like them. I don't have to trust them. I don't have to be best buddies with them. But I need to forgive them. I need to turn them over to God and say, okay, God, you deal with that. It's off my plate. And if you really want to do a good job of it, start praying for God to bless them. Because that's what he says to do. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Why would I want God to bless them after what they did to me? Because think how God has blessed you after what you did to him. Okay, got it. And then Jesus talks about fasting. Fasting? I don't like fasting. That means giving up something I like. That means going without something that I enjoy. What do we enjoy? Food, glorious food. I mean, it's just this wonderful, wonderful thing that we sometimes self-medicate with. Feeling anxious? Grab something to eat. Feeling depressed? Grab something to eat. Feeling excited? Let's celebrate. Let's go get something to eat. We eat all the time for every kind of reason, good reasons and bad. The best reason to eat is for strength to do good works. That's the reason we ought to be eating, for nutrition. Nutrition, yes, okay. Why don't you just give me pellets, okay? Just take my food, puree it, dehydrate it, and I can swallow it with a glass of water. Thank you so much. We don't want to just eat for nutrition. We want to eat for pleasure. Well, guess what? God's not opposed to eating for pleasure. God could have made it so that we had no taste buds. God could have given us all COVID so that we wouldn't smell things. Okay? God could have made it so that all food tastes the same. Have you ever been on public transit system where the computer speaks like this in a total monotone? You are now nearing your stop. Please wait for the doors to open fully. Have you ever encountered that? Yeah. Okay. Aren't you glad God didn't make it so that everybody talks that way? God deliberately designed all kinds of variety, including smell and taste. And the fact of the matter is, the Bible says, eat honey, my son, for it is good. Honey actually has health benefits. Isn't that good to know? But the same book of the Bible, Proverbs, that tells us to eat honey, warns us not to eat too much. So moderation matters. Yes. Well, is it okay to have feasts sometimes? Yes. The Bible actually encouraged that in the Old Testament. That was one of the things God told his people to do in order to celebrate his grace, was to gather periodically and have a feast. A feast. That means all kinds of really wonderful, tasty stuff. But he also told his people that there were supposed to be times when they would fast. So we learn to govern our eating instead of letting our appetites govern us. Fasting is the periodic self-denial usually associated with fasting from food. But, as we've said before, you can also fast from social media. You can also fast from television. You can also fast from some sport that is becoming an obsession with you. No, I can't do that. I'll get out of shape. There are other ways to stay in shape. If something is beginning to become so central to your life that you feel you just can't live without it, unless it is a spiritual discipline, you can live without it. You can benefit from saying, I'm just going to take a break from that. Okay? I think it's becoming a little bit of an idol in my life. I think that's become a little too dear to me. Fasting gives us an opportunity as an exercise to train ourselves. So what does Jesus say? He says the hypocrites, the phony baloney, fake religion people, when they fast, they want everyone to know. And so they disfigure their faces. And they go around looking disheveled and sad. And so that people will say, "What's wrong, Charles?" "Nothing. I'm just fasting. Just trying to get close to God." You can see how much fun it is to get close to God. Don't you want to get close to God like me? Jesus says, God doesn't like that. Don't do that. When you fast, you should look your best. He says, put oil on your head. Now, folks, if we took that literally, everybody would know we were fasting. Did you see Pastor Wood? He's apparently doing a fast right now. He's got oil all over his head, and his hair is just plastered down. Doesn't have that poofy thing he usually sprays. Now, see, when I was a kid, Vitalis and Brill Cream were the things that men used to make their hair look good. You wanted your hair to shine, okay? And part of the ad for Brill Cream was a little dab will do ya, okay? You just put a little in the palm of your hand, rub it together like that, put it back through your hair, and your hair would stay in place, and it would be shiny. That look had actually been popular for thousands of years. Now, it goes through phases. There was a time when the real look back in the colonial era here in this country and Europe, the look was for men to wear wigs. Okay? Look at the pictures of George Washington and all those guys. That wasn't their hair. Okay? That was something they put on to go out. Now, I'm telling you, Jesus is not saying that you literally need to put oil on your head when you fast. He's saying you need to groom yourself so as not to draw attention to yourself. What does he say? When you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting. So you and I need to do what it takes to not draw attention to ourselves as fasting. If what you do for God causes people to say to you, "I'm sorry, what's wrong?" You're probably not doing it right. Jesus says you ought to live in such a way that they're not going to be able to tell when you're fasting and when you're not fasting. But I want us to notice finally one phrase that recurs three times in this passage. Verse 4, verse 6, verse 18. Your father who sees what is done in secret. Your father who sees what is done in secret. Your father who sees what is done in secret. You know what? Our father sees what we do in secret. What's he see when he sees you? What are you doing in secret? You see, we may look really good to the world, but the Father sees what we do in secret. And what Jesus is saying is you don't need to be so concerned about what everybody else thinks. The question is, what does your Father see? If you're doing the right thing in secret, God sees and He will reward you. I hope you're doing the right thing, because your Father sees what is done in secret.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at wvr.org.